there are seven Democrats in Congress who lost their primaries. And of those seven, five are above the retirement age. And it's, and we just talked with Kevin Rennie about Luke Bronin sort of feeling the moment, this momentum of a desire for some change and a bit of a youth movement. And I'm curious, we bring in David Lightman from National Journal. Good morning, David. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. Is this getting any play, any chatter, any talk about some of these older candidates getting bounced?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not so much what happened to John Larson. That was kind of a not much of a national story, because there are other national stories that overwhelmed it. But, yeah, this whole business with age, this is nothing new, though. It started, gosh, 3 or 4 years ago when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker and Steny Hoyer was number two and Jim Clyburn number three, and they were all over 80, the House Democratic leadership. And people were saying, well, where's the next generation? One of the baby boomers going to finally give it up. Well, now they're being kind of forced to give it up. I mean, and yeah, there's a lot of talk about this.
Well, I mean, do you think, you know, what comes to mind quickly, and I mean, you may not have inside scoop on this, but I'm just curious about your opinion. Do you think that Richard Blumenthal runs for another term?
It's a good question. You know, in general, we used to say, being a baby boomer myself, we used to say a million years ago that from the day we were born, we controlled this country, right? I mean, we were the first TV generation. You go on and on with this. Vietnam, you know, we didn't just go fight. We protested. Watergate, you name it. And here we are, you know, with many, many of them, not me, approaching 80, still can't give it up. Blumenthal, look, I don't have any opinion on where the other. I will say this, Blumenthal is still active. He still seems to me to have plenty of energy. It's no judgment on Blumenthal. I mean, you talk to him, he knows, you know, whether you agree or disagree, he still gives you an intelligent answer. So it's up to him.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder. I mean, he's obviously leaving the option open. I think there's a lot of people waiting to run for that seat. You know, we're talking with David Lightman from National Journal. I know it's not a national story, but it's big locally. What, in your view, I mean, I don't know how much, I mean, obviously you've covered him for years. I don't know your relationship. What is the political legacy of a John Larson?
You know, yeah, I knew him way back when. I mean, he was state senate president. I knew him when he came here. You know, what is it, like, a couple things. First of all, he was a fierce defender of Social Security. I mean, there's all these rumblings about privatizing it, tying it to the stock market and all this business. No, John Larson will go down fight until the end on Social Security. And something's got to happen with that, by the way, because it's going to be insolvent by 2032, I think it is, which means the senators elected this year are going to have to deal with this because they're elected for six-year terms. That's number one. Number two, he fought for his constituents. And you never doubted where John Larson stood when it came to Hartford and its environment. Three, defense. I remember when he first came to Congress, he became friendly with a congressman named John Murtha from Pennsylvania. Big defense hawk, controlled a lot of the policy, the money, and so forth. Larson made sure he became friendly with him because he knew that he could help him, and he did. So Larson leaves quite a legacy in Congress.
Hmm. I remember Murtha from those scenes in Charlie Wilson's War. How much money they doled out in just one conference room was really quite stunning, and I'm sure was pretty accurate. David Lightman, National Journal, joining us here on Brian and Company. I'm curious, I feel like it's the same conversation I have with this gentleman I have on for real estate, and, you know, the dynamic hasn't changed, so I don't know why I ask, but I feel like it's my responsibility to ask. I mean, what's going on with Iran and Hormuz and all that?
Nothing you haven't read. You know, it's interesting. Washington this week just died. I mean, the Senate left a week ago today, Saturday morning. And you go to the Capitol now, it's like a college campus, you know, and all the students have left. I mean, it's just dead. White House, not so much. But, you know, it's like a holding pattern. Nobody knows what to believe anymore. Nobody knows when this might end. I mean, you hear these rumors and people leaking you things, back channel talks, and And yet, here we are, right? The one thing that concerns me right now is the oil supply situation. I mean, forget prices for a minute, which at the moment is stabilized. But, boy, if somehow or another, we got to have the product. And I'm no expert on how, you know, where oil is produced. But, boy, if that becomes a crisis, look out. I mean, I don't think we're back to 1979-style gas lines. But that's what worries me at the moment.
Well, I mean, there's a situation where, like, the Chevrons and the Exxon Mobils, they're drilling plenty coming out of the ground. The SPR, the petroleum reserves, are, you know, at 40-plus year lows, and that's part of a policy decision to release a bunch into the marketplace to try to help with prices. In terms of, I don't know if you have anything to say about the Kennedy Center stuff. Again, I don't want to ask leading questions and project my own sentiment, but it sounds like this will get challenged again in court. I mean, why are we even talking about it?
Yeah, exactly. Why are we talking about it? It's just sad to me. I mean, obviously, being a resident of this area, I use it. I like it. It's a great place. I mean, sure, I can find things to criticize, but it's just sad. You go down there now, and I have, for various reasons. I mean, you can find parking on the street. There's nobody around. I haven't been inside the building, but I'm told it's like a shopping mall where all the stores have left. National Symphony Orchestra looks like it could be in financial trouble. And, yeah, here we are worrying about whose name is going on the building. Oh, my God. It just, yeah, I better leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, it is... It's just weird. I mean, that's all I'll say. I mean, making it, you know, renovating it is a great idea. The whole naming thing is just beyond me a little bit. Listen, in terms of Caroline Leavitt, I forgot how young she is. I mean, to be in that position at that age, and listen, I don't love the White House news conferences have been just kind of silly to me for a long time because you don't get a lot of ton of information. Usually you just get, you know, regurgitated talking points. But when I compare her to like Kayleigh McEnany, I mean, she was had much more command than she did. And so I don't know, you know, if this is a void or who's going to step in or does it matter? I don't know.
Does it matter? Access always matters. I mean, even if it's this, boy, how can I put this gently without giving an opinion? I've never been a fan of these White House briefings, even back when I covered the White House. You know, you have to go because you never know. And then, frankly, afterwards, at least when I did it during the second Bush administration, you know, you go to the back and talk to them and schmooze with them and all that and get to know them, and that's helpful. But, you know, as for the public face of it, look, Trump is still the president. You're not going to get... Some gossip monger out there. So, you know, I wish her well, and we'll see who takes over.
Yeah. I mean, you said Washington's pretty quiet. Anything else shaking?
No. The action is all the primaries. I mean, back this Tuesday, not just Washington, Connecticut, but you saw the progressive in the Wisconsin race lost, which was a shock to people. Back to Larson real quick for a minute. I just want to say, Larson, you could always talk to Larson. He would, as a journalist, okay, we appreciate people who will talk to us. They may not agree with us. They may not like us, but they'll talk to us. They'll give you a good, straight answer, and that's Larson. Larson always, you know, I'd call him off the House floor. He'd sit down. He'd give you a pretty thorough response. And again, it's not to say I agree, disagree, whatever, but I appreciated the way he dealt with the media. So that'll be missed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, assuming he still has to win in November, but it's a pretty heavy blue district with Luke Bronin in D.C. Listen, I appreciate it. I know you're off next week. I hope you enjoy the time. Well-deserved, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Sounds good. Have a great 2 weeks.
Thank you. David Lightman from National Journal joining us here on Brian and Company.